enough. I want to launch our show and get going and have a really interesting discussion today that's coming through our news feeds about Title IX. And so I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion. So I'm Julia Patrick. I'm the CEO of the American Nonprofit Academy. I've been joined by the nonprofit nerd herself, Jarrett Ransom. We are delighted that you are here with us today for another episode of the Nonprofit Show. We want to thank all of our presenting sponsors who have joined with us on this march to getting out a daily show, which is no easy feat. Bloomerang, American Nonprofit Academy, Fundraising Academy, Nonprofit Nerd, Your Part-Time Controller, Nonprofit Thought Leadership, and Staffing Boutique. So Jarrett Ransom, this is a really interesting time for us because we are not only on Roku and YouTube and Vimeo and Amazon Fire TV, we have been taking our podcast, and I say we, it's our executive producer, Kevin.
It's our Wizard of Oz.
Our Wizard of Oz. And he has put us on to all these platforms, these streaming platforms. Did I see an email that said we had just surpassed 1,500 downloads?
You did. Yes. Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, I myself, Julia, I am an avid podcast listener, and I really enjoy, you know, walking, exercising, biking, listen to podcasts. I even start my day with podcasts. So the fact that now we are a podcast is pretty, as you would say, ding, ding, exciting. And I've also heard from so many people that they will start an episode, even, you know, on Roku or Vimeo. And then five episodes later, they're still watching the nonprofit show. So we've become the new Netflix binge series. And I love that.
Oh my God. We should like partner with a pizza company or something.
We should. We absolutely should. Yeah.
It's a really cool technology. And, I know that you from the get-go have really been a champion of the podcast, and so it's really been fun. I know that you are invited to be on a lot of podcasts. I do that as well. And so it's been interesting to be a part of that as a guest, mm-hmm. you know, on the other side of the table. And so...
Well, remember we had a guest on, and I'm forgetting his name, but he had mentioned that the average podcast episodes are like super minimal. And so we thought, are you kidding me? The fact that this is a daily show, we of course have the content. So, you know, looking at bifurcating our information and our episodes to not only webcasts, which, you know, that's our mainstay, and also, you know, putting it onto podcasts, we were like, sure, let's do that. And for us, we're like, you know, it's just the blink of an eye, but I know that Kevin does a lot more to it.
Kevin has to do a lot. But, you know, I think the thing of it is that his number was 10, that most podcasters can't get past 10 episodes. And we were like, well, hell, that's 2 weeks for us.
Done.
So it's kind of an interesting way for people to consume, you know, content and navigate their lives. And so we're just thrilled. But today we really want to do something different, and we want to navigate something in a different way. And that is through the American Nonprofit Academy newsfeed. We have a newsfeed that is 24/7 that is absolutely remarkable. And it's always pulling in news from around the world. And so this changes, you know, like that. And as we are talking today, it will change even more. But one of the things, and this is a go-to news source for me. It's not just my company, but because somebody else on my team does this. But I go to this and I'm always like amazed, like what the heck is cooking, you know, and it's just boom, boom, boom. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today, Jarrett, is Title IX. We are now celebrating the 50th year of Title IX, which mandates that the same amount of attention and space and time that is given to boys' sports are given to female sports, girls' sports. And this was such a revolutionary thing back in the day.
Right.
I want to tell everyone, and this is a clutch the pearls moment, You know, Jarrett and I have a 20-year age difference.
I'm older.
Bless your heart. But, you know, in my day, you had the opportunity to be a cheerleader, cheer on the boys.
Right.
You could play tennis or you could play volleyball. And that was it. That was it. I mean, as I got older, track and field started allowing girls. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, that was it. And then Title IX came, and it was just so revolutionary. And I believe that, you know, you've been an athlete all your life, and that I'm really curious to ask you, like, did you ever think that girls couldn't play sports? Or
no, never. Well, first of all, I was raised in an athletic family. My mom was the cheerleader in high school, you know, dated the basketball star. So she cheered on her high school sweetheart. They're still married. I want to say, like, gosh, 58 years or something. It's astronomical. And so for me, my dad's athletic, my mom's athletic, my brother, very athletic. He's played semi-pro soccer. And wow. I was just kind of like raised in that environment, naturally athletic, naturally tomboy, naturally, if my brother does, I do. So I grew up playing with the boys. And I also grew up in a very small rural town outside of Columbia, South Carolina. And, you know, when you brought this topic up today, I had no idea that Title IX has been around for 50 years, because honestly, I thought it came about when I was in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea, because even for me in a very rural town, like, you know, I would have to try out for the boys teams, or I would have to play co-ed teams. Again, I would play pickup ball with my brother and his, you know, guy friends. So for me, that's what was normal. But I also realized that also is what challenged myself, because I was like naturally playing with more talented athletes, more skilled athletes. So for me, Title IX, when you said 50 years, I was like, are you kidding? That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it has an incredible nexus to the nonprofit sector, because I think that it allowed a lot of women to learn about leadership through sports that is so common in the for-profit and the nonprofit sector. Right. And talking about sports and thinking about all of the different sports avenues and channels that have a nonprofit tie.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's something that we think about, all of the sporting you know, support groups and parent groups and in all of these nonprofit kind of issues that blanket the sports community. And even as we have seen in the last 30 years, right, the athletics, the professional athletic community having and embracing and managing their own sports nonprofits, you know, that's their own great charitable arms. So it's really an interesting thread that I don't think we could have ever seen it starting to move 50 years ago.
Yeah. You know, we talk about this often, Julia, that there's 1.8 million nonprofits that are registered in the US. And I just want to acknowledge many of these are sports teams. And, you know, I think we hear a lot about Pop Warner football. We hear a lot about baseball teams. My sport was soccer. So growing up, I was actually, you know, at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia, when the women won gold. So that was, you know, a fantastic opportunity that ironically was my senior summer when I was moving into my freshman year playing on a collegiate soccer team. So my family could have never planned that better. Right.
Right.
And then looking at, as you said, the nexus of sports with our nonprofit community, the leadership of that. And you look now at the female leaders that we're seeing. I mean, for me, it was Mia Hamm back in the day, you know, and now we have so many amazing, you know, and I, of course, I'm going to focus on the soccer. We have so amazing female leaders that are, you know, standing up, speaking up, speaking their truth, being who they are. This is Pride Month as well. And also just like embracing who they are and who they love. And I think that's super cool to see that in the leadership, not to mention the pay.
Yeah. I mean, the whole women's soccer issue. And that's, you know, an amazing, again, nexus to the nonprofit sector, because a lot of times we've looked at these organizations and we still do to this day. You know, we don't talk about compensation and we don't talk about, you know, right, getting a fair wage, because we're like, well, you're doing the work of the angels. And so, you know, don't take money and you need to take a back seat or have a mate who can support you, you know, on the financial back end so that you can right, keep doing this, you know, marvelous work. And that's just not sustainable, nor is it appropriate. So I can see so many ties to what we've been seeing on the news feed on the American Nonprofit Academy website with this Title IX. Now, as a woman who's 61, I hate to say that, because I know, I think my mother's 61, not me. But, you know, anyway, I can tell you that, you know, around the breakfast table when this was being discussed, it was a big scandal. Because in the beginning, in my beginning, you know, sports for boys were cut back. So the opportunities for boys, they got culled out so that girls could then, because they didn't just like boost up the budgets and say, okay, yeah, now let's, you know, make it even for girls. That wasn't a possibility. Had to cull down things for the boys. So everything from wrestling to baseball to football, all of those things, they had to take cuts in their budgets and then take those funds and move them into girls programming, which was hard because there weren't coaches. I can remember in my grade school, a big call going out to all the dads, not the moms, but the dads said, we need a badminton coach. We need a volleyball coach. We need, you know, it was like, how do we then push up the support mechanism for leading girls in sports? You know, because it didn't exist.
It didn't exist. And it's funny you said that, because again, going back to my hometown, very rural community outside of Columbia, South Carolina, for me, soccer in high school started my junior year. So you can imagine, wow. I mean, I was already, you know, well into my teenage years. Now, granted, I had a mindset and strategy for the game because I grew up on the sidelines watching my brother. And you know, for us, when soccer started at this high school, for me, we, you know, they assigned the PE teacher. That was it. It was like, hey, you're athletic. You're the basketball coach. You're now going to coach the girls.
You're going to do everything.
I know. And similarly, Julia, our men's soccer coach was the same. He was our wrestling coach, but he was a coach. And so he kind of got tapped on the shoulder and said, look, you don't know anything about soccer. We don't know anything about soccer, but you're a coach. Now you become the soccer coach. So it's been really interesting to see that shift. But it's also been interesting for me to see, as we go back to the leadership, and I think you and I would be remiss if we didn't talk about our community leader, Diana Taurasi.
Oh my God, the GOAT.
Yeah, what she does for, you know, for the Women's Mercury team. I was watching the news the other day and the coach was talking about how there's so much on your plate to lead the team, to lead through these pandemics. She's married and she has two kids at home.
Babies, yeah.
Yeah. So really looking at navigating that. Plus, of course, for us, we know this. Another really big teammate of hers is not available currently for, you know, for the team. So she has this other drama crisis happening where she's been detained. And Diana Taurasi is really, she's got so much on her shoulders right now as the female athlete, leader, and mom.
Right. You know, and we're really privileged. We have Ann Myers Drysdale, who was the very first woman ever to receive a professional contract. And it was with the NBA, and it was a very short-term, somewhat PR-oriented thing, but she was the very first woman, and that really was part of that Title IX thing. She's a mother. She's an athlete, she's a leader, and she actually works within the NBA as a color analyst, and she works in management as well. And she's in our community, a very powerful, dynamic, lovely, lovely woman, who you've got to believe that Title IX moved her and the trajectory of just how we were looking at women forward. And again, I would just love to have this conversation in another 25 years, let's say, to know, like, what is the thread with that type of inclusion, allowing women to then become leaders in other areas? Because again, as you said, there's such a tie to sports and sports organizations at all levels, community levels to professional levels, and the nonprofit sector. They all have to raise money, you know, in order to navigate their sport.
Yeah, and I love that you pulled the screen up. So for those of you that are listening, we encourage you to go to the AmericanNonprofitAcademy.com. That is a live news feed that is culminated across the nation, pulled into regional sections. And so what we're looking at here, for those of you watching, you can see, it's a post talking about Title IX, 50 years. We won't stop until girls and women are equal everywhere. It makes me think about also, Julia, how sports are the vehicle to empowerment. And one of my clients that I've been working with is tied to the LPGA, and it's called Girls Golf. And it's a national organization. They have local regional chapters. And truly, golf, the sport of golf, is the vehicle of empowering these young girls and youth of, our future. And so there's many opportunities there. We know and we hear and learn often about after school programs, yeah, and how that is provided to, underserved communities as well as a nonprofit service line. So providing these vehicles of empowerment, encouragement, anti-bullying, all of this. This is amazing programming that is often provided through our nonprofit umbrellas at either low to no cost.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Exactly. I mean, really using human capital. Yeah. Using human capital. I just was listening to an NPR piece this morning that was talking about the crisis of coaching in America and how there's just so few coaches available at the community level. And this is from an after school league to a church league to elementary, high school, everything. And one of the comments was that the coaches are generally under the age of 25. A lot of times they're, at the lower level, high school, college students, kids just out of college, and that they're leaving because it's so vitriolic on the sidelines with parents and the whole tenor of how sports are being conducted. And I got to thinking about that in relationship to our discussion today about, it ties back to civil discourse and, explosion of anger and behaviors that are certainly not civil, going down all the way to where our children are competing.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen it, right? And we might even be a part of it sometimes.
But my kid did ballet. You're screaming at the stage.
There's no screaming in ballet. There's no crying in baseball. So I went through a coaching certification as a soccer coach. And so I am a trained youth soccer coach, and it was through the AYSO organization, American Youth Soccer Organization. And there's different levels and classes. And I will absolutely tell you, maybe not now, but when I was doing this probably 15 years ago, I was a hot commodity. Because there was, for me, I really wanted to train and coach young girls. That was my jam. Also being a mentor, an advisor to these young girls, to be there and play a major role in their life was a privilege of mine, but a huge hot commodity. And I could have almost gone to, any organization to say, this is what I want to do. This is the age group I want, because you're right. That certification and that opportunity is slim. But I remember going through that certification, Julia, and learning the statistics. I forget them now, again, 15 probably plus years ago, the amount of kids, youth, that drop out in their preteen years. And the reason they drop out is because they're no longer having fun. Right. They're no longer having fun because of that discourse on the sidelines, right, because of the pressure from their parents, because of the pressure from the coaches. And so that is a very pivotal age for our preteen and teenage youth. You know, and again, I'm a very competitive person. I believe you are as well. But really looking at how do we maintain fun for our youth so that they can enjoy, you know, and maintain that enjoyment. Winning is great, but sportsmanship is better. And I do think that the way sportsmanship takes on into our leadership, into our professional lives, into management opportunities, right? Yeah. It's all about how you manage through a crisis.
Absolutely. And I think it's just an amazing opportunity to look at how, you know, our nonprofits can glean leadership skills. They can move people up. We talk about this pretty much, it seems like every show, you know, this whole, the great resignation and the reshuffling of our labor force, and leadership and management are central to that. And so how do we create teams? We talk about that all the time. We talk about team management. I mean, and in thinking about Title IX and how we took an entire segment of our population, an entire gender, and said, okay, we're going to now put you into that mainstream and allow you, because it was not allowed before, the opportunity to learn. It's not all being about becoming a professional, you know, athlete. It's about learning to be a team member and all these things. It's pretty phenomenal. And so I just really wanted to kind of take this time to chat about this in a way that we haven't, because it's really been an interesting time for all of us. Hey, you know, we are really thrilled that you could join us today for another edition of the Nonprofit Show. Not our intended path today, because our guest will reschedule, Andrew Olson, was actually caught in a travel whirlwind. I'm sure he's somewhere in the Midwest, but not where he intended to be. And we will get him back on, and we'll be able to ignite that interesting conversation. Again, Jarrett, we need to give a shout out to the team that plays with us every day. And those are our presenting sponsors: Bloomerang, American Nonprofit Academy, Fundraising Academy, Nonprofit Nerd, Your Part-Time Controller, Staffing Boutique, and Nonprofit Thought Leader. These are the folks that really are part of our team. And without them, we would not be having these conversations. Okay, sister.
So great. Tomorrow's going to be great. Again, thanks for all of you listening, watching. If you have not checked out the news section on the American Nonprofit Academy website, please do yourself a favor. You might want to bookmark it. This is like, you know, equivalent to the Wall Street Journal. It pulls
it really is.
All of this fantastic information across the nation. Yeah. So if you live in South Carolina, you can look at your region there. Julie and I live in the community of Arizona. We can look at our region on the opposite side of the country. And it's all throughout, you know, the 50 states. So do yourself a favor, your team a favor, share this information. And, you know, thank you for giving us grace and for giving our guests grace. This happens. This is, I think we can all kind of empathize with knowing the stresses of travel, whether we're going, you know, across town or across country. There's a lot happening right now. So thank you for joining us. Julia, I will see you back here tomorrow. I hope that we see all of you back here tomorrow. And we will wrap up this 564th episode by saying, please stay well so you can continue to do well. Thank you, and we'll see you here tomorrow.